ังกสุเมนาเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุโมทะมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุโมทะมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุโมทะมัง Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools us and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body.So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making a overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya,be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Jam.Bedang pujayami. Damang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. We are off the light.We will set the alarm. For those who already know how to meditate, you just straight away proceed. Your spiritual faculties has already been developed. Then you can also straight away go into the meditative state very fast, very easily. Then for those who still need to maybe stabilize the sati,Then you can use whatever skillful means that you are familiar with, or object of meditation that you have been using. You just relax, maintain awareness, and allow the anapanasati or whatever object of meditation you are familiar with, develop mindfulness of it. So formal meditation is just to train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it so that it's ever mindful, until the mind finally become very quiet, very still. Then you can realize paucity, the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, until the mind enters sati. That is the main purpose of formal meditation. So whatever stage you are in, it's okay, you just continue to develop. Then after your sati comes about, your form and mind will know. The form and mind will understand what sati is. Then when sati arises, your awareness or silent mind and your bodily posture, the physical phenomena, they move as one. Then whatever your senses pick up also, they are all in sati. So when you have developed the proper understanding and the training, you will know how to meditate. Then you will come to know all the method and technique. It's just a skillful means to train the mind in mindfulness. That's it. So the fourth support for meditation is very important. Relax. No matter what happens, relax. Body and mind completely relax. When you can relax, you are peaceful. Your mind is quiet. The mind that is relaxed can let things be. Then after that, you can observe your mind, your thinking mind, your sankhara activity, your mundane mind. So this mind, before the spiritual faculties are developed, the mental hindrance will be there to condition mental hindrance. That's why most people find it very difficult to develop the meditation, because they lack the spiritual faculties. So the best way to overcome the mental hindrance temporarily or initially is to develop the mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness or metta. Then after that, stabilize that mindfulness or awareness by anchoring the mind to an object of meditation. If you don't have any, then it's good to use anapanasati as recommended by Lord Buddha. So anapanasati is very simple. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is the training of the mind to develop mindfulness on the breath, the in and out breath. So when you silence everything, relax and maintain awareness, then keep your attention at the nostril where your breath goes in and out. Then as per the instruction of the Buddha, breathing in, away, breathing out, away. Just the mind, the awareness and the breath move as one. Just do that training. So you can stabilize the anapanasati, you become very peaceful and very calm, very fast. Then you will experience what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, or spiritual rapture that arises when sati is developed. Then you continue to relax into it and maintain the awareness. Then this piti will transform, become more refined. Then you will experience sukhang, which is blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very blissful. Then you continue to relax and maintain awareness. Then the mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati, will slow down, until it becomes very quiet, very still, very fine. Until like there is no more breathing. Like the breath is so subtle, you hardly can perceive it, can be mindful of it. That is a good sign of progress. Means your mind now is in sati. So stay with the silence. Just maintain the quietness, the awareness, the stillness, silence. Don't do anything. Maintain it for as long as you can. Then later on, when your mind has become so stable, the mind will enter sati. Then whatever movement, however small, is like magnified. Then you will understand what sati is. Yeah, during that time, your mind is very quiet, very tranquil, and very still. And whatever movement, the inner awareness or the silent mind is aware. That's why during that time, like the very subtle breathing become prominent to you again. And you can develop the mindfulness of the subtle breathing. Then it's like very easy to maintain awareness. You don't have to do anything silent. The awareness is there. The mind doesn't run anymore. Then after that, if you were to move your awareness now to your heart area, because your mind has entered sati, it becomes very sensitive. It can detect your heartbeat or whatever vibration around your heart area. Whatever that is most prominent, you develop the silent awareness of it. Stay with it. Even the heartbeat or whatever vibration within the chest area. You just relax, maintain awareness, and stay with the flow. The heartbeat is a pulse, arise and pass away. So without words, the awareness and the heartbeat move as one. Initially, it's like very gross, loud pounding, pupa, pupa, but without the sound. Then later on, as you develop more and more stability of this inner awareness or mindfulness, then your breath will slow down until it becomes very quiet. Then your breathing, everything, including your heartbeat, they will slow down until it becomes very, very quiet, very still. Then the silent mind will arise. Then you will come to realize there is a nature within the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, your true mind, without thought. Realize that. Stabilize it, until mind completely in sati. So this is pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the fifth enlightenment factor. So continue to meditate and silence your mind. Through this silent mind, which is your meditative mind, your true mind, it can understand many things. It can develop the Dhamma understanding on its own. Then after that, when you are completely silent, you will understand the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, where you see them in your form and mind arising and passing away. Then after the meditation, when you come out of it, you can understand many things. With a stable sati, your mind can see things as they are, can develop the direct seeing, the awakening. So all this, you will come to experience them. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will set the alarm. Once the half an hour is up, it will trigger off. Then I will ring the bell. 3 times. When you hear the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay. Slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness for as long as you can. Then use these mind states to live life, to develop the stability of daily mindfulness in daily life. Once you have the ability to train your mind until it is very, very still or quiet, until the mind enters deep, then when you come out of meditation, everything you do is in sati. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, all your inner awareness and your kaya, physical movement, activity, they become one. That is kaya nupassana, mindfulness of kaya activity or movement, bodily activity, or we call it the physical body. The daily mindfulness is sati sampajana. So when you can be mindful in the midst of activity in life, that is sati in the midst of life. The Buddha call it sati sampajana. You are ever mindful, clearly comprehending. Sampajana is clear comprehension. There are four aspects of clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of non-delusion is one of them. Then, clear comprehension of suitability. Then there's another one, where you develop clear comprehension of activity. Means domain of meditation. At any one time, when you want to meditate, you will understand meditation can be developed in any posture, whether standing, sitting, walking, or lying down, or in the midst of activity. So domain of meditation is also very important. Then you must also have what they call clear comprehension of non-delusion. That one is very important too. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakamokadam Dhamma savanankalo ayam badanta Dhamma savanankalo ayam badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa इति पेसो भगवारहं सम्मासंबुतो विजाचरणसंपन्नो सुगतो लोकविदो अनुत्तरो पुरिसदम्मसारथि सत्ता देवा मनुसानं बुद्धो भगवति स्वाकातो भगवता धम्मो सन्दितिको अकालिको एहि पासेको उपनयिको पाचातां वेदिताभो विनोहिति सुपतिपन्नो भगवतो साक्कसंगो उजुपतिपन्नो भगवतो साक्कसंगो न्यायपतिपन्नो भगवतो साक्कसंगो सामीचिपतिपन्नो भगवतो साक्कसंगो यदिदं चतरि पुरिसयुक्तानि अत्र पुरिसपुगला एषा भगवतो साक्कसंगो आहुनेयो पाहुनेयो दाक्केनेयो अञ्जलिकरणीयो अनुतरं पुण्याखेतं लोकासाति साधु साधु साधु. Okay, let us pay respect to Rinpoche. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. Just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. Then after this, we will continue from where we stop. Put here, you know, put here center. Oh, wait, put that aside first. Sorry, your camera, I forgot. After Sony, I move. Okay. Like I told those who came early, today is actually the last class before we celebrate Chinese New Year. So very fast, one more week. Next week, it will be Chinese New Year. 23rd is the eve. Or 24th is the eve. So today is 14, another 10 days, very fast. So if we don't meet again, I would like to wish all Kayanamitas a very happy, meaningful, and beautiful, good New Year. May your good wishes and pure wishes come true, and to celebrate Chinese New Year the Dhamma way. Like what I have shared, when was it? Last Thursday, at Padmasri's house, and Brother Tune's house, yes. So celebrating Chinese New Year, the Dhamma way is one of the best way to put Dhamma into practice. Then that celebration become meaningful. Not only is a Chinese tradition, like I explained, it's a very good tradition. It offer a lot of opportunity or condition for you to develop wholesomeness. You can cultivate generosity. You can cultivate good mind state, rejoicing. Then you can train your mind. Develop the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path in real life. Then you can maintain heedfulness and mindfulness throughout the Chinese New Year. And we're supposed to have 15 days until Chong Gome. So you can fully develop the training, you become beautiful instead of getting excited or carried away during the festival. You maintain very beautiful mind state. You can still celebrate Chinese New Year with new understanding, beautiful mind state. You can still enjoy the Chinese New Year song. For us who have grown up with this type of environment, and also Chinese New Year songs, celebration and conditions. During festival time, you will hear all this song. Then, if you have mindfulness, you develop the joy within, and you are mindful of the music, very different. You can try this year, see how it goes. Then after the new year, when the class starts, you can share, and you can report whatever you want to report. Then there can also be condition for you to help your loved ones, your family members, even meet up with classmates, colleagues, good friends. And during the reunion dinner, you can actually catch up with each other and share your story. Then develop heedfulness, mindfulness to arise the appropriate good speeches. You can cultivate right thought, right speech, and right action. Then right living or right livelihood. All these are possible. Then if you are already very stable in your Dhamma understanding, the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path is always with you. Your mind is always very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil, still, with a lot of clarity and joy and happiness. Then you can also have a lot of gratitude, contentment, respect for your parents if they are still around. Then develop love, compassion, the four Brahma Vihara state which we have just done or completed last week. So today I think we have a new topic. We are at page 642. Turn to page 642, chapter 43. The eight worldly condition. This is a very useful topic too. This eight worldly condition, they happen in life. When you go through life, you tend to encounter them. And the Buddha has this teaching. He said, when you have the Dhamma, you will know how to confront the eight worldly condition. The Mahayana call it the eight wind. Eight wind. The reason why they call it wind is because this eight worldly condition tend to affect the human mind, sway the human mind. So when they arise, it's like the wind, they can blow you off. So they always have this saying, Ma Feng Chui Pu Tong, means the eight worldly condition does not affect you. Means you have wisdom, you have Dhamma, you have Samadhi. That's why the eight worldly condition has no power over you. Okay, now we will read from the book, the text. The eight worldly condition, chapter 43. The vastitude, vastitude of life in Pali is called Atalokka Dhamma. This ill-balanced world is not absolutely rosy, nor is it totally thorny. The rose is soft, beautiful, and fragrant. But the stem on which it grows is full of thorns. What is rosy is rosy. What is thorny is thorny. Because of the rose, one will not meddle with the thorn, nor will one disparage the rose on account of the thorns. Yeah. So for those who have received roses before, especially ladies, be careful of the thorn. They may prick you. But you are lucky because you go to the florist. What they do is they wrap the thorn part with beautiful wrapping. Then after the wrapping are the beautiful roses. So when you receive, you can hold the thorny part because of the paper. So they got very nice wrapping paper for you to hold. And sometimes the way they prepare it, they arrange the flower is very beautiful. But it's not cheap. I was told during Valentine's Day, the price can go up very high. How many of you have bought roses before? Oh, a lot, So during Valentine's Day, the rates are different. I remember I went with my wife to have a look because there was one occasion when my son asked us to help him book one for the girlfriend. So we went, then we saw, we looked around many, then we take WhatsApp now, very easy, send over, let him decide. And finally he chose one. Actually that one also supposed to be not that expensive, I think about 200 plus, less than 300 I remember. There are some 300 something, 500 something, there was one I remember, 4 figure, above 1000. So what is your understanding when you offer roses? What does it signify? Valentine's Day. What does it signify? Yun Chan, lover. Lover. That type of love you want or not? Doesn't last one. We have the roses, after a few days, what happened? It will start to, you call what? Wither away. So that's why I always share this. But you be careful, you know. You tell your wife or your girlfriend this. Then you say, I got another alternative for you. Diamond forever. So they say, you don't buy me rose. You buy diamond and offer it to me. And diamond are what? Forever. Long lasting. It's supposed to be the hardest of all, the shiny one. So there are many things that you can make use of to offer to people in life. But if society accept that people like that, then maybe you should understand. I understand most ladies like roses. True or not? True or not? Anybody don't like? PG is the only one don't like. Anybody else don't like? Ladies don't like roses. Don't like people to send you roses or offer you roses. This is life, understand? But when you receive it from somebody whom you like, you feel very good in it. But when you receive from somebody that you don't like, how you feel? I have seen a lot of video or TV show. They take the flower, they dump it into the basket. Straight away. Waste paper basket. So that's why love and jealousy or unhappy mind state are two different things. When you receive them from somebody you love, you feel very good. You look forward to it. Then when you receive from somebody who are after you but you don't like them, it can be a different scenario. These are all related to life. So the author used the rose to signify the duality of life. Beautiful, but on the other hand, they have the thorns. Then, without the thorn, there is no rose. So the thing comes as a package. So, marriage life is the same. It comes as a package. Not everything rosy. Sometimes thorny issue will arise. So worldly condition has this meaning deep within. Okay, we go on to second paragraph. To an optimist, this world is absolutely rosy. To a pessimist, this world is absolutely thorny. But to a realist, this world is neither absolutely rosy nor absolutely thorny. It bounds, it is abound with beauty, beautiful roses, and prickly thorns as well, from a realistic standpoint. So that we call it the ups and downs of life reality. An understanding person will not be infatuated by the beauty of the roses, but will view it as it is. Knowing well the nature of thorn, he will view them as they are and will take the precaution not to be harmed or wounded by it. Like the pendulum that perpetually turns to the right and left, four desirable and undesirable conditions prevails in this world, which everyone without exception must perforce face or confront in the course of one's lifetime. They are called the eight worldly conditions. The first pair is gain and loss. The Pali word for gain is labha. Loss is alabha. Then the second pair is fame and defame. Fame is yasa. Defame is ayasa. Then the third pair of worldly conditions is praise and blame. Praise in Pali is pasamsa. Blame is ninda. Then the last pair is happiness and sorrow. Here they use pain. It's actually sorrow. So happiness is sukang or sukha. Pain is dukkha. So now we will go into the first pair. Gain and loss. Businessmen as a rule are subject to both gain and loss. It is quite natural to be complacent in obtaining a gain or a profit. In itself, there is nothing wrong. Such righteous or unrighteous profit produce some pleasure which average men seek. Without pleasurable moment, though temporary, life would not be worth living. In this competitive and chaotic world, rarely do people enjoy some kind of happiness which gladdens their heart. Some happiness, though materialistic, does conduce to health and longevity. The problem arises in case of loss. Profit one can bear smilingly, but not so for losses. More often than not, they lead to mental derangement and sometimes to suicidal tendency when the losses are unbearable. It is under such adverse circumstances that one should exhibit moral courage. and maintain a balanced mind. All have ups and downs while battling with life. One should always be prepared for the losses in particular. Then there will be less disappointment. When something is stolen, naturally, one feels sad. But by becoming sad, one would not be able to retrieve the loss. One should think that someone had benefited thereby, though unrighteously, may he be well and happy. So this is the author's way of consoling yourself. All one can console oneself thinking is only a minor loss. One may even adopt a highly philosophical attitude. There is nothing to be called me or I or mine. Okay, maybe we discuss this first pair of worldly condition. Most of us have gone through life, we have confronted this first pair of worldly condition. Has it ever really affected you in your life? Many of us have confronted gain and loss, isn't it? But how severe is the loss? And how joyful is the gain? How do you all approach it? Or what is your experience about this worldly condition? You want to share? The mic is here. We should discuss this. This one is a good topic. PJ, come. Yeah, I can sit on the chair now.
Pratio, it's not so much as my own experience, but nowadays I think everybody has heard of all these Macau scams and all this. I find it so, I can understand how stressful it is for these people, and most of them is because of their life savings.
Yeah,
and
very
true. A lot of them are elderly people.
Yeah.
So can you just imagine what you think that you were
comfortable life? It will be very traumatic for them.
Disappear,
yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It will be very traumatic for them. Very good. Thanks for the sharing, Sadio. Very good. Anybody else? Christy. Maybe you are too young to confront this. Your parents are too loving for you. too young. Haven't had real experience of losses. Never before. Oh, you are blessed. Yeah, happened before. Oh, then how you feel? That loss is more difficult to endure, isn't it? Easy, not really easy, That's very true. Because when you are young, you don't understand. Why must it happen, use the mic for the recording, push it all the way out. Yes.
I think after joining like the classes and everything, only learning the word impermanent.
Yeah, then only you start to understand.
But there are still attachment.
Definitely.
Because of love and everything. Still attachment.
Yes.
The feeling of sad is definitely still there.
Yeah, because the worldly life is full of duality. So duality is part of the mundane world. So every living being has a mundane mind. Before the wisdom arise, before your nature develop the awakening and the understanding, you will be affected. That's why the world is the world. The eight worldly condition, they come and they will affect living beings. That's why the Buddha taught this very important Dhamma. It may be worldly Dhamma, but they are very relevant to life. Gain and loss is very important. Maybe I share a little bit from what I heard from my teacher last time. He said the best way to contemplate gain and losses, he said, when you are born into this world, you came with nothing, isn't it? So whatever you have lost is what you have gained, isn't it? So why worry? True or not? You never have them before you come, isn't it? After that only, like your parents also, after you are born only, you have parents. Then later on, your brother, you say, all this you acquire later. So you gain them actually. Then, when you lose them, even your money or whatever. So if you understand the law of impermanence, the characteristics of nature, everything is dependent originating, condition arising. When condition is like that, things will happen this way. So, when you have that understanding, then you will be able to accept all this reality. Because condition is different now. Condition has changed. Because of the change, whatever you think you own or you have before that become overnight gone. So losses can happen in many ways. Like the Iraq and Kuwaiti war, you remember? Overnight the whole country, they lost their sovereignty. Their central bank also taken over by the Iraqi. And the Kuwaiti all suddenly lost everything. They lost their nation, their central bank, their country, everything. Then luckily, the United Nations, through their appeal to the Americans and all the same, they managed to form a, they come together. I don't know, I forgot, there's a word. All this country come together with the United Nations sanction. They decide to attack back the Iraqi and send them out of Kuwait and liberate Kuwait. So overnight, you can lose everything when condition change. So understanding the Dhamma, understanding impermanent and condition will enable you to have the wisdom to come to terms with all this reality. So whatever that you have gained, it can be your wealth, your money, or your investment, or your property, even your loved ones, or whatever that you hold on to dearly. When condition is such, especially during economic crisis, you make the wrong decision, you can be wiped off. Then like PG say, if you got this karmic condition from the past where you scam people, cheat people, deceive people before, then this life you become victim. You end up being scammed back and all those things. So these are nature's law. So when you understand nature's law, you can come to terms with the reality. Then you can actually accept what happened and move on. A lot of Kayamita who came to my sharing and class, they have this ability. Real cases, many, they used to come and tell me their story. One of them, you remember Ching Hun, the elderly lady? Most of you should know her. Sister Ching Hun, remember her? I think Stephanie will know her. What about the rest? You don't know her? Don't know her? The rest don't know her? Oh, she come last time, many years back. She was so happy because the Dhamma helped her to overcome many things. The son's case and the daughter-in-law, they went through hell. And she, full of love and care, she wants to help. Then somehow she bumped into me while going to Japan on a spiritual trip. They're supposed to visit another Ogawa, another master. So I was with my uni mate who asked me to accompany him to find out what that new sect is all about, that new so-called Buddhist sect or teaching is all about. So I happened to be there, then they met up with me. Then instead of consulting that sect, Cheng Hun decided to talk to me and ask me whether I can help. I said, can, but you have to do it yourself. You must have the strong mind. So she did it and she cleared. Then everything turned around. She was so happy. Then she used to tell me, say, the best thing that can happen in my life is to get to know you. You help me solve that problem which has been troubling her for very long, the whole family. Then later on, after the whole thing cleared already, the children decided to hold a, I think, anniversary dinner for the parent. They are much older than me. I think at least 10 to 15 years. So the anniversary dinner, they invited me and my wife especially to sit on their family main table. Then after that, she tell me the story. He said, Brother Teo, thank you for your teaching. I said, what happened? He said, do you know the recent Chinese New Year? Is it? He was in Si Park there shopping. I think you call it what? Giant, Section 21 there. Last time is a cinema. Snatch her handbag. There were 2,000 ringgit or new notes inside the handbag. Credit card, everything also gone. What do you think will happen to her? If it happened to you, how you feel before you have the number? I was so surprised. She came and told me. She said, Brother Teo, if it's not for your teaching, I would have been cursing the guy. scolding the guy, running after the guy. He said, but he said, he was so surprised. When the thing just happened, of course she was quite shocked with it. But then she immediately had the understanding. She was not sad. She didn't do all sorts of crazy things like normal people would do. She just calmed herself down and tell herself, this is coming. I have to pay back. In the past, I must have done this to people. This is terrible, horrible. I shouldn't have done it in the past. So now, I become the victim. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. And she just let it be. Then after that, you know what happened? She told me, is it the only thing she missed was there was one notebook that has all the phone number of his good friend and contact one. He said, I only want back that notebook. See, I don't want the money. IC, credit card, or I can get it renewed or do back. And you know what happened? Many weeks later, you really don't believe. Me and my wife, I think we were somehow in Section 17, I think. Then we met somebody, I think in a makan shop or what, I forgot already. They call up, yeah. They call up. Inside that notebook, so many phone number, you know. They call me, you know. They call up. They call me. Then when he mentioned my name, I said, how do you get my number? He said, I don't know. I pick up this notebook. Because she told me about that notebook, I remember it must be her. Oh, I said, yeah. Wei Cheng Hun, I said, this one is my friend, he said. I said, how come you found this notebook, her notebook? He said, I was doing my weekend walk. You call it morning walk. He said, he saw it on the roadside. Without a bag. He only saw the notebook. And he took back and decided to give a call. And he called my number. That's why I went over with my wife to collect it. Then I returned it to her and she was full of joy. He said, wish come true. when she make the aspiration for it to be found and really come true. And that was almost a month later. That's why when you have Dhamma, a lot of things can happen. Then the other one is, I think you all know, this lady is Mimi's friend, Jasmine. Remember her? Huh? Jasmine. She almost commit suicide in Klang one. Remember? Go there, want to jump in already. Jasmine. Also Sue, I think. Jasmine Sue. Yeah, with the daughter one that come to the annual gathering on every year. That one also very special case. She also turned around because of the Dhamma. And there was one incident after the thing. She was a real estate agent, I think. She was scammed. PG, scam. She was scammed. But not much. Kena scam 6,000 over ringgit. Actually, for her, as a real estate agent, income not steady. 6,000 something is a lot of money to her. And because of her problem with the daughter and the husband, they will have court case going on, all things. She was at that time miserable until the Dhamma actually helped her. Then she turned around. Then when she confronted this scammer, 6,000 something, that night, she somehow called Mimi to ask me whether I'm free or not. So we went for, I think, supper, something like that. He belanja, Then he told us this story, He said, I was scammed, But good luck, like Cheng Hun say, there's a Mandarin saying, what? Po chai, xiao zai. Is it correct? Po chai, xiao zai. Means you kena this coming thing, then it overcome your whatever coming past. Means you pay back your karma. And she can just accept like that and say, luckily nothing happened to her. Because only lost some money. So a lot of these things, when you have the Dhamma, you can have the wisdom and the understanding to accept what happened and to be at peace with the moment. Happen means happen already. Understand? And if you understand, there are causes and conditions behind. Meant to be will be. You cannot run. That's why the Buddha's advice is very important. All evil you must avoid. You don't play a fool with karma. Otherwise, whenever there is condition, it will surface. And the other thing that I want to share with you and advise you is, as you age, as you go through life, as you age, you will confront aging, old age, sickness, of course, finally death. We have witnessed a lot. So just now before the class started, I think my wife was sharing about our neighbor, elderly neighbor. They were a couple. I think the husband 80 plus, the wife near to 80. Both the children are not with them. One daughter is a doctor in UK. The son is in Singapore. So now, the husband got dementia. You know what is dementia? Got problem. Then the wife luckily realized what happened. Straight away sold off his car. All the three cars. So after the car sold off, he still think he has his car. And there was one occasion he called me. He talked to me. He said, somebody stole his car from his house. I said, when was it? He said, this morning woke up, I still saw my car. But after that, go out, breakfast or what, come back, the car no more. Oh, I said like that. So what you want to do? Report police or what? he also don't know what to do. Then I remember I got a guardhouse there. So I told him, okay, I take you to the guardhouse. Maybe the video camera can check. Wow, the video camera very good. Shine directly, got one camera. To his house, my house, and four more house. Our this row one all got video camera. So I was there with him almost 2 hours watching that video. No car come out, no car go in. Then after that, luckily the wife call him on the line. He said, 我跟张先生看 video, checking who steal our car. So the wife started scolding him. He said, the car is already sold. Then I took over the phone call, and he said, 张先生, 不要听他讲, 他说他有那个问题, got that problem. Because he cannot remember. Pity him. Huh? And after that, he felt shameful and apologized. I said, don't worry, this is a small thing. Huh? It tends to happen. Then after that, the wife dare not let him go out. No? He don't know how to come back. Then sometimes, like my wife shared today, he told my wife, because of his age, he walked out to SS2 to buy something. He feel very tired, no? He had to sit down. No? Then he cannot sit on a low stool. No? But he cannot stand up. No? He sit on a low stool. He had to sit on a normal chair. Press only can come up. So a lot of this thing, if you don't hear it, you may not experience it. Then don't be a hero as you age. Actually, 2 days back, I tried to be a hero. I crossed the drain. I fell. I rolled over. Luckily, I was mindful then, my hand, but healed already. 90% healed already. I use it to press against the pavement. Because that drain, actually, one side high, one side low, about 3 feet down. When I was young, 5 feet also I can jump. So I was driving this contractor to go and buy some building material to repair my plaster ceiling. That's like karma, it's like that. You have to pay means you have to pay. I straight away sense the conditioning. When I say SS2 got 3 hardware shop, I take you outside, you go and buy. He said, no, there is a shop, I know them one, SIPA. Is it very honest and cheaper? Actually, that bag or filler is only 3 ringgit one bag. Cheaper by how much? Is it 5 ringgit also I pay? He said, no, I know them one. They give me authentic one. You buy other shop, maybe not so authentic. Then I send something wrong. So I took him there. I said, okay, I know another place also better. So he like to cut corner one. I want to drive in the secondary road to park properly. He said, cannot find car park on here. Is it? No need to go in. He said, park on the roadside. Then I drove to the shop. Then there was a Merc, very big, nice Merc. No? He said, park behind the Merc. Well, I said, Merc also park. Okay, la, park. So park. Then immediately I parked. Before I off the engine, he already out of the car. And he straight away run down. No? To him, the drain is like nothing. So I saw him like that. I also remember when I young also nothing. So I also jump. So the moment I jump, because already leg not steady, the momentum pushed me over. No? So I had to land on the pavement. No? Luckily that the place I jump, no car on. There was a vacant parking lot. But because of the pavement, the sharp stone and all those things, actually it was bleeding. There was one hole here. Then my leg here also. But because of my pants, not so bad. Then my face here, you can see or not? But healed already, almost 80% already. The red spot, kena a little bit, luckily. Then the shoulder here also. That's why at this age, small thing like that affect you. Then when I saw my this hand, the moment after it happened, I saw my hand, I saw all those blood. Then I realized this physical body is so fragile. Do you understand? So easily get hurt and destroyed. That's why as you age, don't think you are still young. Don't be a hero. Better use the step or take a longer path. Now 66, not that old, isn't it? 10 years later, I tell you, the moment you fall, luckily 60-something, the bone's still intact. I was told people misstep. There was one friend of ours also, 78, I think, he's 78. He just came out of the shop lot, stepped on the wrong foot, stepped onto the drain and fall, the shoulder bone fracture. Have to go for surgery and don't know, the orthopedic had to do a lot of things. So, remember, be careful as you age. Then, not easy to endure old age if you don't have the Dhamma. A lot of things can happen. To me, disease is not so bad. Then, just now somebody share, who was it? He said he got, Jin Hao, your friend, How old? 80, 80 over, What happened to him? Pass the mic to Jin Hao, That one also pitiful case.
He was, he's 86 years old. He got stroke about 2 years ago. Then, after that, he's paralyzed, cannot move.
Then they hire somebody to look after him. Then the maid ran away.
After 4 months, just the insurance expired. So the whole family was don't know what to do. His wife is also very old. 70 over.
70 plus. Also very weak. Not
the
healthy.
Daughter is cannot hold his father because his
the father is quite heavy.
Quite heavy.
It seems the daughter only 40.
I mean,
40 kilo.
Less than 40 kilo.
Less than 40 kilo, and the father is very heavy. So, not easy. So, I heard many people told me their parents, one of them is also a Kayamita. That time he was looking after the mother. Bedridden, no? I think Yun Chan know her. Jusim. Remember? Jusim, the mother? He attended my class. The mother, Susie, the mother was very good. Small size, easier to handle, but bedridden. They got the skin, bed sore, all those things. But luckily, Yusim have metta, have compassion, look after her. But the other sister is in UK. Very good maid. That maid helped her. And she has the Dhamma, otherwise not easy. So we used to visit her, then also bring cheer to the mother. The mother was bedridden. But she told us, the mother liked to listen to my Dhamma talk. Because last night, Tuesday class, the mother always attend. And she also used to go to Brickfield and all things. So these are the story you will hear. People who has the Dhamma can understand the reality of life and existence better, especially the first noble truth reality, old age, sickness, and death. So these are the things that we will go through in life and confront in life. But young people normally, they are not affected because to them they cannot understand, they have no weakness. But for those who have grandparents and parents who are elderly, you will start to hear all this story. And it's not easy to confront aging. Because there's a lot of things that come with aging. Stroke is one of them. Dementia is more frightening. Then sometimes it's depression. Then sometimes, just now somebody mentioned, who was it? He said, scold. The parent with problem on scold the children as what? Not the mother give birth to him one. Who was it? My lay my leg ma sang Who say that? Alicia. Oh, yeah, Alicia. Ah, Alicia said. He said, until the son or the children felt so bad. So the parents said to the children, use the mic. Oh, the father got the
mic. Yeah, the father.
So he go and tell the son, you are lame. Your mother didn't give birth to you. Then who give birth to you? The son felt so bad. No, yeah. Okay, my dad say this type of thing. So sometimes you have to understand them, no? Because when they say things, because of their condition, you cannot believe what they tell you. Do you understand? Especially people with dementia, they keep arguing with you, and they keep on remembering old thing but cannot remember new thing. Because the old memory is still there, but the new one, the growth hormone no more, all the new memory is gone. They cannot remember. Sometimes they have their meals already. They still tell you they haven't had their meal. Why didn't prepare breakfast for me? Claire. Penang on another lady. Yeah. So you have opportunity to listen to all this. It can prepare you to confront life, to understand aging, the process. So for us, most of us, I think we got good karma. So far, so good. So, be prepared, as I said. You pass the mic to Stephanie. Push it up.
One of my friend's mother who has dementia will keep emptying up the fridge thing.
Oh, clear everything.
You open the fridge and things.
Yeah.
Open the door.
That one not so bad. I got one hometown. That time when I heard about it, I was still in the university. The mother, I think with dementia, she, for no reason, she was just walk out of the house. Sometimes I forgot to wear anything. Just after her bath, without wearing anything, she just walked out. I tell you, the daughter-in-law almost gave up. How to look after the mother-in-law like that? Then, like a baby, bathe also don't know how to bathe. Answer nature's call also, just do it there. A lot of problem. Need to wash them, clean them, look after them, feed them, and all those things. So not easy. But that's why when you young, they take care of you like baby. Like Yun Chan said, now they get old, they become baby again. So you have to actually understand their condition. Because when you are young, they also care for you, sacrifice for you, and provide for you. That's why they love you. They can do it. But I realize the kid, for them to have this type of understanding and love their parent is not easy. Very few can do it. They used to say, one parent can raise 10 children, but 10 children cannot support one elderly parent. So sometimes it's pitiful, but the law of karma is the law of karma. As I do your duty well, when you do your duty well, you will have good karma. You will have good siblings that will care for you, sacrifice and look after you. Okay. Alicia. Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Since on 这个 dementia 的 subject,
yeah.
我不知道我是不是有 early dementia set in. So 我想分享一下我 last Saturday 的 experience. Last Saturday 我在 Mid Valley 做我的 shopping. Okay. So Mid Valley, Center Court, North Court, South Court, everything 我是知道的.
Yeah.
每一间店我都知道.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
You're very familiar, huh?
So. Yeah. 当我跟 Freddy 讲完电话, okay, we meet at Aeon downstairs. So 我就把电话盖了放进去 bag 里面, 然后当我一抬头的时候, 它整个 surrounding 是我不认识的, 就是没有 memory 掉, 就是
okay.
like, huh? Then 我就
Is it only for a while? It's quite normal for cultivator. For cultivator, this thing can happen.
But when I wear down this, when I
wear
down this, when I wear down this,
when I wear down this, when I wear down this, when Because a cultivator, the brain is different, understand? Because especially you can develop the inner awareness, stability of inner awareness. The silent mind, which she already had the ability to develop, and she saw how that thing went in, sees then how it come out. So during that time, when you have the understanding and the pure awareness, everything, the brain sometimes can like all of a sudden you will be in that state. There is no what they call mundane mind to tell you who are you, what are you, and where are you. Completely empty inside there. Completely empty. But for a moment only. Understand? Because the moment the awareness is there, it is like that. But when the mundane mind come back, you will understand everything. Then sometimes, like, you suddenly cannot recall. Because it's not there. The condition is not there. Like just now, you remember when I was sharing you all the Sati Sampajana? Sati Sampajana? Daily mindfulness with clear comprehension. I try to explain the four comprehension. Do you realize I only spoke three? I repeated the fourth one, non-delusion. So the sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, I cannot recall at all. Blank. Because I long time didn't use. Understand? I long time didn't share this clear comprehension thing. So this is something that links to memory. So if it's linked to memory, not there means not there one. Cannot recall. Cannot recall. Completely not there one. Where this one is non-attachment already. It cannot hold on to thing already. So that memory thing, it cannot like try to remember. No condition means no condition. Then you will ask me, how come now I can recall? Because when I realized that, that's why I didn't continue with the fourth one. I cannot remember. That's why I didn't say anything. Then after the chanting, I just let it be. Then after the chanting, everything. After the meditation, then I started to share that. After the meditation. Immediately after the meditation, that thing come back. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, suddenly it come out. That's what I remember. So when it come out, I say, if the condition, I will share. So now got condition, that's what I share with you. So the four type of clear comprehension, you have to develop the understanding. Sincerity of purpose is very important. You are very sincere in your approach to Dhamma. Why you want to cultivate daily mindfulness with this style? Clear comprehension. So after that is domain of meditation. That's suitability. The best time, the best place, the best, most important people. Other people around you. Most important time is now. Most important place is here and now. Then the last one is clear comprehension or non-delusion. So all these four, they will fall into place. So don't worry, Alicia. For you, it's okay.
Something happened, but
yeah. That state of mind is like that. All of a sudden, it's like that. But for a while only. After that, it will come back. That one is nothing to do with dementia.
Then after that Monday,
correct. Because you have that sensitivity. Your mind is already trained. You have this ability. That's why you are able to do that. And if it happened to you, I know, it's normal. So don't worry. It's not an early sign of dementia.
Okay, thank you.
Don't worry. And also, it's too young. Most of these people are at the age of 70 plus 80. But not that many. I heard my elder brother also mention, the mother-in-law also same. He walk out of the house, don't know how to go home. And they have to look for her many times, report to police after one day. Then finally, somebody found her. She was sitting somewhere in a very quiet corner near the bus stand there. Then people, funny, you know, how come one lady just sit there like that? Like, doesn't know anybody, fearful and all those things. Then when people talk to her, she also don't know how to tell people where she lived, the address, or she cannot remember. Until they bring her to the police station. Then the police saw the police report. Then they realize must be this person. We all got photo, everything. So after that, they contacted my sister-in-law. So it's not easy to handle. So you should count your good karma, your good blessing, if you are still okay after 80. So life is something we need to go through. That's the reason why that day I mentioned long life without health may not be a good thing. Understand? You live too long, you don't have the health to support you. Actually, you don't really have quality life. Your life may be miserable, more difficult to endure, unless you have the Dhamma. But you have the Dhamma, you are a lot better. Because you have the awareness. The awareness is actually nothing to do with the brain. The awareness can help you. The awareness, the moment you are aware, you can recollect and do a lot of things. That's an awareness is very important. The brain, of course, is equally important. But the brain, for most people, they go to the memory, understand? For cultivator, the memory is like the RAM in the computer, random access memory. You need only you go and access it. You don't need to go and access it. So because of that, that's why you can have instances like what Alicia described. Because the memory is not with you, understand? You are not holding on to that one. It is like separated. That's why if it's separated, you can have those moments where there is no memory at all. That's why you cannot remember the place and all those things. But it's only that moment. Yeah, after that you can access it. When you are conscious again, understand? Then you can make use of the brain. Then the brain can actually help you. Then also through your awareness, you can develop the understanding on your own. You don't really need the brain for much thing. Brain is only to store the information you need. Data, like your name, your address, and all those things. Apart from that, you don't need. But wisdom is already in your nature. So when your awareness is there with the wisdom, it will know how to act. Understand? That wisdom will allow you to have the ability to act. So you don't really depend so much on the brain. The word is, you don't depend so much on the brain. The brain is only needed for memory, information, and all those things. That's why you don't go and store psychological memory in your brain, otherwise you get into trouble. Then it will trigger wrong thought and all those suffering, misery. So, like what we have learned, I have always teach you, what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your selfishness, your scars of memory, then your insecurity, your phobia, all those things. These are our wrong thoughts. Without delusion, all these thoughts cannot arise. Because of delusion, they arise. That's why Dhamma help. Dhamma with the clarity of mind, the awareness, the understanding help. Then you cannot arise all this. Then you only use the mechanical memory, important memory. Okay, anybody else? Want to share? Gain and loss. I think we had quite a good discussion. So we go to the second pair. Second pair is we haven't. There's another part. Page 643, last paragraph. In the time of the Buddha, once a noble lady was offering food to the venerable Sariputta and some monks. While serving them, she received a note stating that her husband and all her son, who had gone to settle a dispute, were waylaid and killed. Without getting upset, calmly she kept the note in her waist pouch and served the monk as if nothing had happened. A maid who was carrying a pot of ghee to offer to the monk inadvertently slipped and broke the pot of ghee. Thinking that the lady would naturally feel sorry over the loss, Venerable Sariputta consoled her, saying that all breakable things are bound to break. The wise lady unperturbed remarked, "Bhante, what is this trivial loss? I have just received a note stating that my husband and son were killed by some assassin. I place it in my pouch without losing my balance. I am serving you all despite the loss." Such valor on the part of the courageous woman is highly commendable. So people with Dhamma can act this way. Do you think it's easy to act like her? All your son and your children and your husband killed by assassin. You receive that note and you still continue to perform your dana offer to the monk. So such mind states are not easy. So second example. Once the Buddha went seeking alms in a village, owing to the intervention of Mara, the evil one, got Mara on. The Buddha did not obtain any food. When Mara questioned the Buddha rather sarcastically whether he was hungry or not, the Buddha solemnly explained the mental attitude of those who are free from impediment and replied, "Ah, happily do we live. We who have no impediments, feeders of joy shall we be, even as the God of the radiant rhyme." On another occasion, the Buddha and his disciple observed Vasa, rain's retreat or rain's period, rainy period, in a village at the invitation of a Brahmin, who however completely forgot his duty to attend to the needs of the Buddha and the Sangha. Throughout a period of 3 months, although Venerable Mangalana volunteered to obtain food by his psychic ability, the Buddha, making no complaint, was contented with the fodder of horses offered by a horse dealer. So these are the story. Yeah? Visakha, the Buddha's chief female disciple, lay disciple, used to frequent the monastery to attend to the needs of the Buddha and the Sangha deck with a very valuable outer garment. On entering the monastery, she used to remove it and give it to the maid for safe custody. Once the maid left it in the temple and returned home, Venerable Ananda noticing it, kept it in a safe place to be given to Visakha when she visited the monastery again. Visakha, discovering the loss, advised the maid to look for it, but not to take it back in case any bhikkhu had touched it. On inquiring, the maid understood that Venerable Ananda had kept it in safe custody. Returning home, she reported the matter. Visakha visited the monastery and inquired of the Buddha what meritorious action should she perform with the money obtained by buying the costly garment. The Buddha advised her to build a monastery for the benefit of the Sangha, as there was nobody to buy the garment because of its high cost. She herself bought it and built a monastery and offered it to the Sangha. After the offering, she expressed her gratitude to the maid, saying, "If you had not inadvertently left my garment, I would not have got an opportunity to perform this meritorious action. Please share the merit." See? Blessing in disguise. Huh? That's why I don't always think negatively and scold your maid, huh, for making the mistake. Because of the mistake, she get to do such generosity or dhanaparami. And she even would like to thank the maid and share merits with her. So these are people with Dhamma, cultivators. That's why they don't perceive things with negativity. They just resolve issues through understanding amicably, following Noble Eightfold Path. So instead of grieving over the temporary loss and reprimanding the maid for her carelessness, she thanked her for granting an opportunity for service. The exemplary attitude of cultured Visakha is a memorable lesson to all those who are quickly irritated or hot-tempered over the misdoing of helpless maids or servants. Lesser one must try to bear cheerfully with manly vigor. Unexpectedly, one confronts them very often in groups and not singly. One must face them with equanimity or upekkha, and think it is an opportunity to cultivate that sublime virtue. So this is the first pair. Yeah? So the example given are quite good. Yeah? So with Dhamma, you can develop such understanding. The next pair is fame and ill fame or defame. Fame and defame are another pair of inevitable worldly conditions that confront us in the course of our daily lives. Fame we welcome, defame we dislike. Fame gladdens our mind, defame disheartens us. We desire to become famous, we long to see our names and picture appear in the papers. We are greatly pleased when our activities, however insignificant, are given publicity. Sometimes we seek undue publicity too. To see their picture in the magazine, some are ready to pay any amount. To obtain an honor, some are prepared to offer any bribe, to give a fat donation to the party in power. For the sake of publicity, some exhibit their generosity by giving alms to 100 monks and even more. But they may be totally indifferent to the suffering of the poor and the needy in the neighborhood. One may charge and punish a starving person who, to appease his hunger, were to steal a coconut in his garden, but would not hesitate to present thousands of coconuts to get a good name. So this is the author's opinion, views. These are human frailties. Most people do even a good action with an ulterior motive. Selfless person who act disinterestedly are rare in this world. Even if the motive is not very praiseworthy, those who do any good are to be congratulated on having done a beneficial act. Most willing have something up their sleeve. Well, who is 100% good? How many are perfectly pure in their motive? How many are absolutely altruistic? So all this depends on the person, the individual. If he has the Dhamma, he can. But if you don't have the Dhamma, you can't. Most human beings are born selfish, deluded. We need not hunt after fame. If we are worthy of fame, it will come to us unsalted. The bee will be attracted to the flower laden with honey. The flower, however, does not invite the bee. True indeed, we feel naturally happy, nay, extremely happy, when our fame is spread far and wide. But we must realize that fame, honor, and glory only leads to the grave. They vanish in thin air. Empty words are they, though pleasing to their ears. So when you contemplate on death, you can develop some form of wisdom. All this fame or whatever, ill fame or defame or the eight worldly condition, they only have meaning when you give meaning, when your mundane mind attach, cling. That's why there is this craving for the good aspect of the worldly condition. Then when it's the opposite, the unsatisfactory state, you do not want to have them. You prefer not to have them. So death is a reality. They used to share this English saying, life is uncertain, but death is a certainty. Heard of this before, eh? Life is full of uncertainty, but death is a certainty. Everyone will die. What about ill fame or defame? It is not palatable either to the ear or mind. We are undoubtedly perturbed when unkind, defamatory words pierce our ears. The pain of mind is still greater than the so-called report is unjust and absolutely false. Normally, it takes years to erect a magnificent building. In a minute or two, with modern devastating weapon, it could easily be demolished. Sometimes it takes years or a lifetime to build up a good reputation. But in no time, the hard-earned good name can be ruined or destroyed. Nobody is exempted from the devastating remark beginning with the infamous, "But yes, he is very good. He does this and that, but his worldly good record is blackened by the so-called but." You may live the life of a Buddha, but you will not be exempted from criticism, attacks, and insult. See, even the Buddha also is subject to the worldly condition. He was also insulted. And people also say abusive things about him. He was also criticized. The Buddha was the most famous and the most maligned religious teacher in his time. Great men are often not known. Even if they are known, they are misknown. Some antagonists of the Buddha spread a rumor that a woman used to spend the night in the monastery. Fall in this base attempt, they spread a false rumor among the populace that the Buddha and his disciple murdered that very woman and hide her corpse in the rubbish heap of withered flower within the monastery. When his historic mission met with success, and when many sought ordination under him, his adversaries malign him, saying that he was robbing the mother of their sons, depriving wife of their husband, and that he was obstructing the progress of the nation. Failing in all this attempt to ruin the noble character, his own cousin Devadatta and a jealous disciple of his attempted to kill him by hurling a rock from above. Being a Buddha, he could not be killed. If such be the sad fate of flawless pure Buddhas, what can be the state of ordinary mortals? The higher you climb a hill, the more conspicuous you become, and much smaller in the eyes of others. Your back is revealed, but your front is hidden. The fault-finding world exhibits your shortcoming and misdoing, but hides your saline virtue. The winnowing fan ejects the husk, but retains the grain. The strainer of the contrary retains his gross rennum, but drains out the sweet juice. The cultured take the subtle and remove the gross. The uncultured retain the gross and reject the subtle. When you are misrepresented, deliberately or undeliberately, unjustly reported, as Epictetus advises, it is wise to think or say, or by his slightest acquaintanceship and little known knowledge of myself, I am slightly criticized. But if I am known better, more serious and much greater would be the accusation against me. It is needless to waste time in correcting the false report unless circumstances compel you to necessitate a clarification. The enemy is gratified when he sees that you are hurt. That is what he actually expects. If you are indifferent, such misinterpretation will fall on deaf ears. In seeing the fault of others, we should behave like a blind person. In hearing unjust criticism of others, we should behave like a deaf person. In speaking ill of others, we should behave like a dumb person. It is not possible to put a stop to false accusations, reports, and rumors. So this one, do you agree? This last four sentences. Those who have the Dhamma won't do that. You still listen, but you need wisdom. With wisdom, your mind will not stir and react. Do you understand? So you don't have to like behave like a blind person. See no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. All those things is the wrong advice. The right advice is you have to live life. When you confront them, you must have wisdom. Then a lot of occasion when people accuse you of saying certain thing, maybe on purpose or what, or create misunderstanding, what do you think? Do you think you have to explain yourself? Try to, just now the word they use is what? Justify. Compel you to? Clarification, yeah. Do you think you should do the clarification? Wow, so fast, 10:30. For me, most of the time, I don't see the necessity. If there is no condition, I just keep quiet. No point clarifying or explaining, understand? Unless there is condition. Because people are just the way they are, you have to accept them for what they are. Do you understand? That's why since young, people do things, like I told you when I was in standard 2, my mother made me the shirt, the sleeve long short, and then torn and all those things. People laugh at me, make joke at me and all those things. But to me, I don't need to clarify, I just keep quiet. Then I just smile. Yeah. Well, for me, I'm what I am, not what people say. Then you have to understand when you are with the truth and the understanding, you don't need to worry what people say. But if there is condition to explain, I will explain. Like what I used to share with you. We are deep inside my own heart, I tell myself. My mother do for me the shirt. Yours. Your parent bought for you. They didn't do for you. I feel honored that my mother do for me. Even though she is not a tailor, she tried to save money and all those things because try to be frugal. Because nine of us, brother and sister, so you go and buy, it's not cheap during that time, the early 60s. So because she go and buy the relatively cheap cloth, then sold herself, she saved a lot of money. Then also we all, during that time, I believe most of you also same, we go to school, our books, our whatever we use, we pass down to the younger one. We are very fast, your shoe, the size, especially during the standard 4, standard 5, you grow very fast, and form 1. So, very fast, your shoe and your shirt all become no longer suitable. Okay, I think we end here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, 648, Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Then after that, transfer merits. Then invoke a blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours or so. Then we will dedicate this merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan va anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Devo satukalena Sasa sampati hetu cha Fitto bawatu loko cha Vaja bawatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mami bala samagamo Kamo hotu Yawa niwana patia Sa Sadu Okay, pay homage to Tripajama, then we end.